Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Well, how many people love the Lord tonight? How many people love the Lord tomorrow? What about next week? Do you think you'll still love him this time next year? How about the year after? The year after, and on and on and on. We want to make sure of that, don't we? How many people know that isn't just something that's automatic? It's not automatic. Not in this world. Everything in this world is pulling on us and trying to pull us away from the love of God, trying to pull us away from our walk with the Lord. And so that's why we have to purpose to stay with the Lord all the way to the end. Somebody say, I'm going to make it to the end. Yeah, because we decide to do that. We don't want to just take that for granted. I believe a lot of people just take that for granted. They just believe that, well, now that I'm saved, of course, you know, and I love Jesus, of course it's always going to be that way, you know. And then we're just going to slide on through this life and then slip right into heaven. And everything's just going to be peachy and wonderful and just so nice. But the truth of the matter is we're in a war. We're in a war. And there's an enemy fighting for our attention. There's an enemy fighting for our affections. And so we have to fight to keep ourselves focused and committed to the Lord, to his purposes, to his work, to his kingdom. We got to maintain our steadfastness with the Lord. We've got a purpose to do it. We got, in other words, on purpose, make sure that we stay with the Lord. So we have to do things to prepare ourselves, and we have to watch out about falling away from the Lord, or falling from our steadfastness, all right? You see, that never happened to me. Well, you don't want to have that attitude. Over here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Now how many people know, you know, in a race, a lot of folks are running. Right? A lot of folks are running in a race. You know, you think of a marathon. That's a long race. A lot of folks enter that race, start out running. I mean, they've been preparing for this thing. And they're running, and they're running, and they're running. But then as the race goes on, there's folks that don't make it. They become exhausted, and they begin to drop out. Some folks just get discouraged. Some folks just keep falling further back in the race. And so everyone's running, but not everyone ends up obtaining what they started out to obtain, right? So you have to run in such a way, the Bible says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. So he says, basically saying, it's not just running. Running isn't enough. Running isn't enough. Yes, you're in the race. Yes, you're running. Congratulations. You're to be commended for coming this far and getting in the race and actually running. But that's not good enough. You've got to run in such a way. In other words, there's different ways of running. You've got to run in such a way that you may obtain, it. Obtain the crown. Obtain the prize. You got to run a certain way. So to run a certain way, we've got to have a certain mindset. We got to think a certain way. We got to act a certain way. We got to live a certain way. And I believe the primary way is to keep the finish line on your mind. Keep the finish line on your mind. Don't just get impressed with the race. Don't just get uptight about the things that you're experiencing in the race. Think beyond it. Think beyond it. Think about the ending. Think about crossing the finish line. You got to have that kind of mindset. If we're going to cross the finish line, you got to think about ending. Now, of course, spiritually for us, the finish line is standing before Him. Standing before Him. Keep that in mind. Remind yourself of that. I'm going to stand before Him someday. We're going to look at each other face to face. I'm going to see the King. Hallelujah. And time's flying. Time is passing away. We're all going to be there before you know it. And so we're going to be there. Think about that. Let that become more and more real to you. Be impressed with it. Get excited about it. Get excited. Let it be the thing that stirs you up every day. It's not just about getting through this day. It's about standing before Him. That's what I'm excited about. That's what I'm excited about. It's not just about this victory or that victory or, oh, we stumbled here or we stumbled there. Okay, well, these are all things that are a part of the race. But my focus is Him. Standing before Him, crossing the finish line. Because it's going to happen. And we're going to see Him. So we got to have that kind of mindset while we're running this race down here. If we're going to obtain the prize, if we're going to finish this race. Verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. There's a lot of folks running around doing a lot of good things, a lot of nice things. But spiritually, it's equivalent to just beating the air because they're not doing His thing. They're not doing what He has called them to do. They're running around, but they're not running their race. They're not in their place. They're not doing things according to His grace. They're just running and doing stuff. So it's like they're just beating the air. Verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others. Now watch this. This is the Apostle Paul. Who is more zealous and fired up than the Apostle Paul? And you look at his attitude here. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, he's not taking finishing for granted. He's not taking it for granted. He's recognizing, even with the experiences that he has had with God, even though he has received an abundance of revelation from God, even though he has excelled further than all the other disciples that followed Jesus, he does not take for granted finishing. He says, I've got to watch myself. Even with all the experiences I've had, all the knowledge that I have, all these things that I've done for the Lord, I have to take heed to myself. I can't allow my body to get the best of me. I got to discipline it regularly. I got to bring it into subjection. I got to stay on top of myself. Lest I myself should become disqualified. Get off track. Begin to just beat the air. Get out from under the grace of God. Begin to do my own thing. Get caught up in some kind of weird deception or something. So you see, Paul finished. We know that. He says that. I believe it's over in the book of Timothy. I've run my race. I've finished it, you know. I've finished what the Lord's called me to do. And now that crown that he has for me is waiting for me. So he knew that he finished. Isn't that awesome? What a great testimony. What a great way to end it down here. I did what he's called me to do. I finished it. Praise God. I got great things laid up for me. I'm going to go see him and receive those things that now he has for me. What a great way to finish. Glory to God. But it was because he didn't take finishing for granted. So we don't want to take finishing for granted either, do we? No, we want to remain steadfast in our pursuit of the Lord. Steadfast in our following God's plan for our life. We are serious about this because we are eternity minded. We are eternity minded. We know we're going to stand before him one day. So we're going to finish this thing that he's called us to do. Amen? Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm pressing forward. I'm moving forward into what God has for me. And so in talking about this, we have looked at different keys on how to stay steadfast. And last time we covered, number one, that we need to keep a clean heart. Keep a clean heart. Feeling unclean will lead to feeling like a failure. And if you feel like a failure, there's a good chance that you may be tempted to quit. I'm just a failure. I'm just a loser. Right? So in order to keep those kind of feelings from dominating us, we got to keep a clean heart. We do that by, of course, doing what the Lord's told us to do. But if we recognize we've missed it, we are quick to repent. We are quick to confess our sins and be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Then number two, keep his presence on your life. Now, again, we've already covered these things, so we're just reviewing right now before we go into some more things that God's got for us, some more keys on how to stay steadfast. So if you want to hear these points in more detail, you just go back and listen to them online or on our website or get the CD of last week's service. But number two, keep his presence on your life. Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Paul ran his race with joy. And that's why he finished it. We got to keep ourselves full of the joy of the Lord. How do you do that? Keep yourself in his presence. Then number three, keep yourself fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Understand that the Holy Spirit is to you like Jesus was to the disciples when he was here on the earth. So we need to talk to him. We need to commune with him. Number four, keep praying. Don't let your prayer life be hit and miss. Get consistent. Be steadfast in your praying. Okay? How you are in prayer is how you're going to be out there. Everywhere. In everything you do in life. If you're unstable, if you got an unstable, undisciplined prayer life, it's going to show up in every area of your life. You're going to feel unstable in every area of life. So let's be steadfast in praying. Can you say amen? Number five, be affectionate. Be affectionate. We don't want to be hard and cold and indifferent, uncaring. Uncaring about what we're doing in life. We want to be caring. We want to be sensitive people. The world is getting colder and colder. The people of this world are becoming more and more without even natural affection, which is what it says, I think, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, would be the case of the people living in the last days. So we want to make sure that we don't fall into that. Stay loving, stay caring, stay affectionate. Number six, look to promote and lift up others. Don't just always be thinking about your success, always thinking about you getting ahead. If you just think about yourself all the time, you're going to be depressed. It's depressing to just think about yourself all the time. That's why a lot of folks are depressed. Honestly, you're depressed because you think about yourself so much. Think about other people. Think about how you can lift somebody else up, put somebody else over in life. Amen? And you'll be amazed that by putting somebody else over in life, you'll find yourself coming over with them. Amen. That's how it works. Number seven, be diligent. Be diligent. Do what you know to do. Get on it. Clean that thing up. Fix that thing. Procrastination causes people to feel backed up. And then they become overwhelmed. They just feel like this is too much. This is too much to do. Too much. And again, they just want to quit and give up. They're overwhelmed. So just be diligent. Number 8, fervent. Stay fired up about serving God. Hallelujah. Don't let being in church here tonight be old to you. Don't let the things of God become old to you. All right? Be fervent. Be fired up about what you... This is exciting. You stir up that excitement. I said, you control your excitement. Things don't control your excitement. You control your excitement. So you stir yourself up, fire yourself up regularly about God serving Him. Amen? Number 9, stay in the rejoicing mode. Hallelujah. Amen. Which includes just being thankful. Being thankful, rejoice. Celebrate God. Celebrate your life. Celebrate who you are and what God's doing for you and what lies ahead for you. Just celebrate. Rejoice. And then number 10, be patient in the tough times, knowing that you are coming through. You're coming through. Sometimes when you're going through a tough place, you just got to be still and know that God is God. Just know that He's God. Don't make rash moves when you're going through a tough time. Going through a whirlwind of a storm. Feeling all kinds of emotions, all kinds of things pulling on you. That's a good time to just be still. Be still. Wait upon the Lord. Glory be to God. And know that it's temporary. This trial is temporary. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I will be in joy on the other side of this trial. Hallelujah. And so now we continue to, now the continuation. Now the continuation of making it to the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's turn there tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. And in verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Man, these are keys on how to be steadfast, right? Staying steadfast. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Common English Bible says it this way: as a result of all this, my loved brothers and sisters, you must stand firm, unshakable, excelling in the work of the Lord as always, because you know that your labor isn't going to be for nothing in the Lord. So he's telling us here to be steadfast, but not only that, he's telling us how to remain steadfast. How do we remain steadfast? It's by knowing something. Knowing what? That our labor is not in vain. That even though what you're doing in life right now, a lot of it might seem like one big waste. It might seem like you're wasting a lot of time. Wasting a lot of your days. But glory be to God. The Lord says, He says that your labor will not be in vain in the Lord. And if you go back to the 57th verse, notice how it started. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. The victory. So we know this, that no matter how things might appear, and they may look like you're a failure, that you have failed and you're wasting your time. God promises that if we're committing our lives to Him, committing our works to Him, that we are going to experience victory in what we are doing now. In other words, we're not just going to get through this thing, but we're going to experience victory in this thing. Hallelujah. So right now it looks like a mess. Right now it looks like a waste. Right now it looks like a lot of struggling going on. But he says, listen, know this, that by committing this to the Lord, it is not in vain. It is not a waste. You're going to experience the victory. Hallelujah. You've got to believe. So number 11, in staying steadfast, you've got to believe that what you're doing will be victorious. You got to believe that what you're doing will be victorious. No matter how it looks, no matter how much time has gone by, it will be victorious. Say, what I'm doing with my life will be victorious. You got to have an attitude about it. Why? Because it's the word. It's the word, man, and I believe it. I believe the Lord is able to take our little that we do and multiply it and somehow do something miraculous with it. Right? He can take our little bread and fishes, multiply it, and do amazing things with it. Hallelujah. Cause what seems to be not very impressive right now to become extremely impressive. Do you believe that? Amen. God's doing it right now. Right now. He's making it happen. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to end in victory. Why? Because you're wonderful? No. Because of his word. Because he said so. Hallelujah. So I'm not wasting my time. I'm not wasting my efforts. It's all going to turn out victorious. Glory be to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing. It's knowing something again that's going to cause us to be steadfast. Remain steadfast. Knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So, the 12th key to remaining steadfast is don't think you're the only one going through something like this. I'm the only one going through this. You're not alone. People can begin to feel very isolated, feel very alone. They feel like they're unfruitful. They're not really accomplishing anything. They're just going around in circles and all these kind of things. They're just wasting their time. Where's this all going to take me? And then they begin to feel isolated. They begin to feel alone. They feel like nobody understands. Woe is me. And they begin to fall into self-pity. Self-pity. And then what happens? They just want to give up. They just want to give up. Woe is me. Look at me. Look at what's happening with me. Nobody understands me. Friend, you're not alone, and you need to know that. People get this idea, you know, I go to that church, and everybody's just so perfect over there. But you see, nobody understands me up in that church. Because, see, nobody's going through the kind of thing. They don't understand what I've gone through. They don't know what's happened to me. They're all so perfect over there, huh? That's a major deception. That is the devil trying to tell you that there's nobody like you. Self-pity sounds like humility, but it is pride gone wild. Because pride manifests in two ways. Self-exaltation, we all know that, but then also self-pity. Self-exaltation, self-pity. If self-exaltation doesn't work, if we're not better than everybody else, then we're worse than everybody else. But bless God, there's nobody like me. Don't fall for it. I said, don't fall for it. Hello? Oh, your brothers and sisters around you know exactly what you're going through. Jesus himself is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and of our weaknesses, and he knows what it's like to be tempted at all points. He knows what it's like to experience trials and tests. And if he knows, how much more do the people around you know? Basically, people are so afraid to reach out and tell somebody else about their thing because everybody else is so perfect. You know, you're just going to look really bad to everybody that's so perfect if you let them know how many problems that you have. That's why I don't like marriage counseling. Really, I don't care for a whole lot of counseling because, you know, a lot of times people come in and they're really zealous about it, and I'm a little hesitant. No, we really need to meet you. We need to sit down with you. We need to talk. Then they sit down, they talk, and they begin to share what he's doing wrong. And he shares what she's doing wrong. And they begin to complain about one another and so forth and begin to say all these kind of things, start, you know, just digging it all up. And so praise God, God helps them. I give them some wisdom, throw some things at them, some answers at them. And 9 out of 10 times, they'll never come back to the church again. Because after they leave, they realized, he knows what we're really like now. He knows what we're really like now. So, you know, I can't go back there anymore. I can't face him. I can't look at that pastor because he knows what we're really like now. Friend, I knew all along. I knew more than you knew I knew. He thought we were spiritual, but after that meeting, after that, we just ruined it. No, it was ruined when you walked in the door. Amen. Who cares? Folks got issues. Folks are going through stuff. Come on. We can open up. We can share. We can ask people to pray for us. We can ask people to help us. We got to stop thinking that you know, we got to try to cover it all up and try to pretend to be something we're not. That's pressure. That'll wear on you, and that will wear you out. It could be the very thing that keeps you from being able to finish what God's called you to do. Cause discouragement to come in. Open up. Find people you can pray with. Don't think you have to try to impress people. We all need each other's prayers and help. Can you say amen? So don't give into self-pity by getting all caught up in yourself. Don't think you're the only one going through something. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. Now, this is Peter writing about the epistles that the apostle Paul has written. And he's saying, you know, some of the things that he's written are hard to understand. Difficult to understand. Take some spiritual maturity to get a hold of it. Even Peter's saying this. He's saying, man, Paul says a lot of stuff that I don't even understand. Now, a lot of folks wouldn't even admit that. You know, a lot of folks that would be in a position like Peter is in before the church. I mean, he's the man that walked on the water. He was the first one to the tomb, and right? And yet, here comes this Paulie come lately. Paul comes on the scene, you know, whippersnapper in the Lord, goes right past him in revelation and in understanding, and is writing things by the Spirit of God that Peter says, that's hard to understand. I don't quite get that. You know, Peter himself sat by the fire with Jesus and listened to the words of Jesus. But notice Peter at this point in his life wasn't too proud, was he, to be able to say the truth. That's why God was able to use him to write 1 and 2 Peter. So he says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, again, it's all about knowing stuff, isn't it? Knowing this, You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So number 13, for us to be able to remain steadfast, stay with it, not quit and give up on God and on the life that He's planned for us, we need to avoid unstable people and twisted doctrines. Unstable people and twisted doctrines can cause you to fall from being steadfast. That's what he's telling us here. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Beware of what? Beware of unstable people that twist the word of God. Twist. And again, it's not necessarily bad people. It's not necessarily malicious people. We're not even talking about wolves in sheep's clothing here. We're just talking about unstable people. Double-minded people. People that don't have a really great track record of being stable in their walk with the Lord. There's all kinds of folks. They're up and down, unstable, church to church. But man, they'll walk into a church and they'll act like they're wiser and smarter than the pastor. They've been around longer than him. They got more revelation than him. They can prophesy. They got gifts. They want to flow. Let me turn me loose. That pastor's legalistic. He's trying to control everybody. I can't use my gift. A lot of these folks are just very unstable people. They just never stayed put where God placed them. They never got their roots down very deep. And then folks get around them and start listening to them. And actually, I've seen people begin to take their eyes off of the stability of their pastor, and they begin to give more attention to the words of unstable people. We went over in Charlie and Margaret's house. They have a Bible study every Tuesday night. They say some interesting things in the Bible study. I've watched people fall from their steadfastness because they listened more to the people around them in the congregation that were on the same stability level as themselves rather than listening to the pastor who the Lord set over them, who has a proven track record of stability. And sure enough, things start getting weird. Doctrines start getting going. Things start getting twisted. Scripture starts getting twisted. And next thing you know, they fall from their steadfastness. And they're out there wandering around doing I don't know what. So you got to beware. Amen. Now, if you want to be a witness to unstable people, great. But you got to watch how much you invest of yourself in an unstable individual. Can you say amen? And then he says in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So number 14, grow in grace. Keep growing. You should be able to look back on your life and say, have I grown in the grace of God since last year? Am I stronger in the grace of God? Am I more yielded to God, to the Holy Spirit, to the ability and strength of God? Is there more grace that I'm operating in my life? We should be able to test ourselves, check up on ourselves. Make sure you're growing in grace. Don't just plane off. Don't just stay the same. Don't get stuck and just be happy. I'm saved. Isn't that good enough? Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven. Isn't that good enough? I'm forgiven. A lot of folks like that, they've already fallen. They just don't even know it. So we got to make sure we're growing in grace. Number 15, grow in the knowledge of our Lord. What do you mean? Know His Word. Man, know His Word. Know the Word of God. Know the Lord. That's how you get to know the Lord more than anything else. Know His Word. And put that Word above everything else in life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then I got one more. This is more of a bonus one. Can I just throw you a bonus one? Ecclesiastes 7, 21 and 22. I'll just read it to you. It says, also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. I can't believe they said that about me. Well, have you said anything about other people? Right? So don't take to heart what people say. Don't take to heart what people do. You know what I found out? Who cares? Don't take it so seriously. What I mean, when we talk about don't take it to heart, don't take it so seriously. I mean, you don't take what you say about other people so seriously. A lot of times we'll say something about somebody else, won't even take it, don't even think about it. I was just saying, I just said it didn't mean anything. Then somebody else says, they meant it. You know what I'm saying? So lighten up. Lighten up. That's to help you run your race. If you worry so much about what people say, what they're thinking about me, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. Lighten up. Don't take it to heart. In other words, don't take what people say so serious. So number 16, this is your bonus one. Are you ready? Don't take people's comments and attitudes so seriously. In other words, don't wear your feelings on your shoulder. If it's on your shoulder, it can easily get knocked off. Amen. Don't wear your feelings on your shoulders. Praise God. Let what people say just roll off you like water off a duck's back. Just let it roll right. You see a duck? You know, a duck gets out there in the water. He sticks his head and just shakes it off. Sticks his head down in the lake and just lifts his head up and shakes it all off. Oh, shake it right off. Goes right off. He doesn't sit there and worry about it. You can't worry. I'm wet. And he doesn't do that. Neither do you. Amen? Just flap your wings. You know what they said about you? Hallelujah. Amen. And then praise God, you'll just be able to fly on through this life. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Glory to God. We're going to make it.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.